The views and opinions expressed in the Humanizing the Headset podcast are those of the authors, guests, and hosts of the podcast, and do not necessarily reflect the opinion or position of Humanizing the Headset as a whole. This podcast may contain adult language and adult content. Well, welcome back, everyone.
Yes.
To the Humanize the Headset podcast.
We are on location at Kaylee's house.
Yes. So we have a new recording space today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an exciting morning here. We are also joined by Janelle. Brendan's not here today. So we have Janelle with us. She's one of our other HTHT members, our contributors, admins. I don't know what we call ourselves.
All around swell gal.
Yeah.
Yes.
So hello, Janelle.
Hello.
Janelle is joining us remotely. So
yes. So she might sound differently. It's not because she's from up north there.
No.
No.
Definitely no. Not.
It's all the cheese.
Yes.
It's all the cheese. The land of cheese.
That's funny.
So yeah, what are we discussing today?
I think we talked about I know we've touched on this a little bit before, but work-life balance.
Yes.
And the struggles, you openly said before we got started that this is a difficulty of yours.
Yeah, I was laughing because it was suggested by another team member that we talk about work-life balance. And literally 2 minutes ago, I was like, I don't know if this is a good topic for me because I'm pretty sure I don't have that at all.
Hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe we'll delve into it and I'll realize that I do. Or we'll delve into it and I'll realize that I have no idea.
So it was worse than you thought. Yeah, yes.
Exactly.
What about you, Janelle? Do you have some work-life balance?
Sometimes.
What's sometimes? It's sometimes.
I mean, you know, I don't, especially with COVID right now, I don't really have much of a social life. I don't think, you know, most of us do. But in general, my personal life tends to exist of a couple friends that are also coworkers, and then the boyfriend who lives in Illinois. Boyfriend. So I spend time,
mm-hmm.
You know, going to see him and helping out my parents that I still live with. So with all of that, that's pretty much my life. And then work is just in the middle.
Right. So yeah.
But when I have trainings and things or long days or overtime or long hours, I'm able to shift my schedule pretty easily to handle any of that stuff. And I'm pretty flexible to get done what I want in both work and life, which is kind of nice right now.
Yeah.
I don't find myself struggling a whole lot.
Good. That's what I was going to ask you. So when you were saying that, I was trying to envision is it a, I might use an old timey word, harried, right? Are you rushing and running around like crazy to get that stuff done, or you know, it's easy for you because you have the time to get it done?
For the most part, it's pretty easy. Especially honestly, grocery pickup is the best thing ever right now.
I know, like COVID has actually brought about some nice conveniences, which sounds awful. Like, I don't mean to say that, you know, COVID's been a good thing, but it definitely has brought about some interesting leaps and bounds as far as convenience features.
Well, what I was listening to, it's funny. I opened up YouTube while I was driving here. To listen to a video.
Super safe.
Yeah. I pulled over and I did all of these things to make sure I did open it up. And a lot of times it's not something, you know, it might be an interview with people. So I don't really need to sit there and look at it. So I just listened to it in the car, and it happened to be a real estate thing, but the one person is like a financial analyst for, National Association of Realtors and this other stuff. And, or maybe it was realtor.com. I don't remember. Clearly I wasn't paying attention. The whole point though, is they were talking about how the real estate market is and how COVID has changed the whole work from home aspect.
Yeah.
Right. And what they said was in the 90s, when the internet came around, they said it's going to change the way everybody works and you're probably going to be able to work remotely more. But mm-hmm. we didn't see so much of that over the last almost 30 years that the internet hit. But this last year forced it. And people realized when they did it, or businesses realized that when they did it, that it actually worked.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Absolutely.
It actually probably made some folks more productive because they have more time because they're not driving to and from work, having to get up and get ready for work, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, for me, there's not a whole lot of hair washing that has to be done because well, I'm bald, but you guys can just put your hair up and be like, here I am, ready to work.
Right.
I'm on camera.
In the pajamas and ready to go. Yeah, I don't know. It's been weird. Like you said, it's definitely been forced upon us to be able to. But does that also bring about like an issue with, you know, a balance of work and home life? Because now you're bringing your work home.
For real. So, and that's the we've had this debate at, you know, in our center that, I would love to do this at home. I would love to be able to sit at home and do my job.
No, I don't want to do my job.
I like being able to leave it where it's at, because now if I'm at home, it's there all the time. It stares you in the face. And honestly, I don't have any room because we use 6 monitors for just our regular stuff. And then we have a separate monitor for our phone and a separate monitor for our radio.
I wouldn't mind doing some of the admin stuff at home.
Sure.
But the actual like call taking and dispatching, no, thank you. I'll leave that at work.
Yeah, exactly. I have no desire to work remotely for what we do from home at all, ever.
But I mean, being able to train remotely has been interesting.
Sure.
Yeah. I had a training class last week where we were kind of laughing because like the instructor, her dog was crying in the mm-hmm. background, and then another girl, her cat kept walking across the monitor, and we were like, it's a weird world right now.
Right. Speaking of, we had dog sitting next to us, Beef.
That's his name, Beefy. Beef? Okay. My dog.
So if you hear that jingling, it's him. What were you saying, Janelle?
I was just going to say, with the remote training, our city insurance offers some free courses for us to take, which is really cool. And I signed up in October to start taking a 12-part leadership course. It's more geared towards supervisors or new supervisors, but I kind of took it to understand leadership more. And instead of having 8-hour in-person classes over in a nearby city, they switched it to 3-hour virtual courses, which with the same credit, same topics covered, just virtually. So being able to cover 12 days of training at 3 hours each instead of 8 was huge for me. I was able to adjust my shifts. It made it easier for scheduling, especially when we were short and through the holidays. And I'm completing my last course next week. So, you know, I get a plaque. It's great. You know, and I honestly much would prefer that rather than to sit through the 8 hours. And really, for me, what they said we might have missed out on is some of the group interactions and some of the group projects they would have had us do. But for me, as someone who's way more introverted and way more, I don't really want to do group projects and not necessarily not meet new people, but people from other agencies, you know, sometimes it's hard to, you know, intermingle, especially when you're from different types of professions within the public sector.
Yeah, and especially when it's only for like a day or two, like it's just kind of awkward because you're like, I'm probably never going to see this person again. I don't really need to build up a huge relationship with them. So I get that.
Exactly. So it was actually, I loved it. And it was way more convenient for me to be able to do that. And there was even at one point, I was able to sit and help dispatch while the class was going on, because we were able to pay attention enough. But then, you know, if a call came in, able to handle that and then keep listening. So I think it kind of.
So were you actually doing this from work?
Yep, from work on first shift hours.
Okay.
So as a third shift dispatcher, for these particular trainings that happen on first shift hours, usually what happens is I'll be what we call shift adjusted. So most of these trainings, what I volunteer to do, again, work-life balance, is I will work a double, basically. I'll work the night before my normal like 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift, and then I'll do a 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. shift, which means I don't have to work the night after the training. And I do that because it's much easier for me to work all those hours together instead of having to say work the 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. shift, which getting up early and completely changing my schedule around is weird for me, and then having to come back at night with only 8 hours in between. I'd much rather do like the 16 hours in one block and then come home, sleep, and then I'm at home at night, and then I can go back the next night, and then I'm on my regular schedule.
Yeah. So it's like having a whole day off.
Basically. Right. Yeah. You literally just gave yourself a day off. But it is that working a double that I don't know if I could do that.
It's something that I've kind of used to my advantage in that way. And then it's kind of been convenient too, because then through the holidays, I was up during the day on those specific training days. So I could go and pick up like holiday shopping that I normally wouldn't have been able to get because maybe the store was closed. And that's right. My one main thing is some of the stores that I would like to go to aren't open at 7 in the morning, or they don't have pickup at 7 in the morning. Maybe they're open at 9 or 10. And that's the only thing. It's like, luckily I can get most everything else at 7 in the morning at 24-hour grocery stores. But there's some things that's like, oh man, I'd really love to go to that store, but they're closed.
I mean, that is the tough thing about working a day shift. People think it's like easier because it's more normal hours, but a day shift in public safety means that you're at work before anything's open, and by the time you get off, a lot of stuff is already closed. Like regular stores, I guess, not like grocery stores and stuff.
I think it probably depends too on where you're working, because if you're doing a 12-hour, but the reality is, I mean, you should still be. I think it's harder on an afternoon shift.
Yes.
As far as stuff being open at the end of your shift. And when I say an afternoon or a second shift, ours is 2:30 to 11.
Right.
Okay. So some agencies, obviously they stagger it differently. Mm-hmm. In our day shift is 6:30 to 3. So, you know, I could see that being more convenient. Plus it's more of a normal life.
Right.
I mean, I hate to say that. That's why I won't, I will not work a midnight shift again unless I'm forced to.
I can't do it. I have sleep issues, so when I adjust my sleep schedule, I have like severe consequences.
Right. So like what Janelle's doing.
Yeah.
When I worked midnights, at that time I was married. My daughter was younger. My wife at the time worked a normal day shift schedule, so I would be the one to have to wake up and go pick up my daughter. Sometimes I would take her to school in the morning or whatever. It would just depend on what was happening. But on my days off, I would actually switch my schedule back to a normal person schedule. So what would happen is my first day back at work, my Monday, I would be up for 24 hours straight. I would
say you'd be dragging.
Yeah, I was trashed. Then I was falling asleep, driving home, and I found in my second year of working on midnights that I had to keep the same work schedule in my life. Now, I slightly adjusted it. So I was staying up a little later, but I wasn't staying up till, you know, 7 a.m. that we worked till, but I would stay up till 3 or 4 and then go to sleep. So it was slightly adjusted, and that seemed to help me quite a bit.
Right.
But to me, no offense, Janelle, there's like, it's hard to have any kind of life and get stuff done. And I kudos to you for being able to do it, because on midnights, I was tired all the damn time.
Yeah.
I think that's just the uniqueness of my life. My parents are both older. My mom is retired and disabled, and my dad is also retired, and he's older than my mom. So they both stay up late. My mom sometimes is still up when I get home, and she's kind of existed on that schedule since I was in college. So I've been on this schedule for about 11, going on 11 years now, where I'd stay up later. And then just with school and work and winding down, even before I was in dispatch. And it's convenient for me too on my weekends, is that then I end up staying up when I can. It seems now I sometimes end up napping or falling asleep more on my off days than I used to. But even when I go down on my weekends and see my boyfriend, he right now has been working from home from his job. So he's kind of able to make his own schedule so he can stay up late with me and kind of make his own hours. And that's kind of how it always has been. So him being able to do that.
You have a lot going on too. Like, I don't know how I barely have two things happening to me and I can't figure it out. So
you know what though? So she's been able to make it work. What I was going to ask you though, Janelle, is, you know, this last year has afforded him the opportunity to work from home. So it makes it more convenient and he can adjust. What's it like in normal times? Or do you even remember normal times?
I do remember normal times. it was kind of nice. He was able to kind of move his schedule somewhat. He could kind of build his schedule if I was able to tell him ahead of time when he made his schedule. He kind of had like a 2 hour here and there where he could slide his schedule to work like a little bit later if I was staying. So we didn't have to get up super early in the morning to leave for work, because then that was when I was going to come home. If I was coming down, then maybe he'd, you know, get off work a couple hours earlier, things like that. Not all the time can we make it work, but with my schedule rotating all the time, because we work 4 on, 2 off, and then 5 on, 2 off. So my schedule rotates backwards every couple weeks. It really helped too with the off days, because then of course he was off on weekends. Currently now he's off Sundays and Mondays. So when those come up, then I can schedule to go down there and spend the time when he's off the most.
Right. So. Well, and that's, you know, for like in my case, my wife, she has the ability to work from anywhere and always has, you know, she's a loan officer. So
right.
A lot of her work is done on the phone. They use a VPN to get into work. So right now their office technically isn't open, so she can't go to the office other than to print stuff. So a lot of it's done from home and remotely, and she's always had that ability. So, you know, what she will do, it's funny because she adjusts her schedule, because I mean, let's face it, mine doesn't change. It's 2:30 to 11.
And right. Then, and you're the one that's actually physically going in.
Right. We're 5 on, 2 off, 5 on, 3 off. You know, we just make plans ahead of time on those days that I know I'm going to be off. But then she stays home a lot of times in the morning. If she has to go into the office or do something else, she does it when I'm leaving, so that, you know, we have that time as well. Yeah, it's work, but we're there.
Well, and so my husband's a nurse, and his schedule, I don't understand it at all. It's a 6-week rotation. So like his schedule repeats itself every 6 weeks. And it is, we have a shared Google Calendar. That's the only way I ever know where any of us are supposed to be, because otherwise I have no clue.
Huh.
And like this week and last week, our schedules lined up in a way so that, and this happens again, like every 6 weeks, it happens where the 2 days that I'm off, he's working.
Of course.
And vice versa.
Of course. Yeah.
So that'll happen for like 2 weeks straight. And then, but then the following weeks, like we're off everything all the same days. Yeah. Yeah. So it's,
at least you know it ahead of time. You know,
and again, the only reason I know it is because if you don't have a shared Google Calendar with your significant other, what are you even doing?
Because right.
I don't know how.
Especially genuinely, if you have a crazy schedule.
Right. Like right. I would have no idea what was going on 90% of the time.
Right. Right.
If we didn't have that. And I, thinking back on it, I don't know what I did before I had that. Did I write it down? I don't even know.
I don't. Well,
did I just have a better memory? Like,
no, I think it's, it's hard for families a lot of times, especially those that you don't live with, right? Your significant other.
Yeah. We were talking about that. Families don't outside, understand. Our
no,
schedule.
They don't understand your schedule. But what's great that I found by using a Google Calendar is, unless something drastic changes, I know my schedule from now until the end of eternity.
And that's how, ours is the same. And so is my husband.
So we can plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, let's look at this date. And then they go, oh, okay, cool. Because they never know. And then, you know, it's just weirdness.
Like, well, no, like awkward. we're trying to talk, we're trying to put together our yearly camping trips.
Okay.
So like last year camping kind of, we didn't get to do too much of it just because like a lot of the parks were closed. My husband, like I said, is a nurse. He works directly with COVID patients. So he was a little bit wary about being around other people. He didn't want to pass it on to anyone.
Sure.
So, but this year we're like, fuck it. We're going camping. Like, right. I don't care. He's vaccinated now. Hopefully by the time we start camping, I'll be vaccinated as well. And we're having to plan these camping trips out like 9 months in advance because we're trying to see where our schedules line up so that it makes sense or get, you know, give us enough time to actually take a vacation day or whatever. Yeah.
That's interesting. So that brings us more into, I think, that conversation about work-life balance. So what we've been talking about is kind of how our schedules are and the day-to-day stuff that we can do. But what about the fun stuff that takes us out of life and work? I mean, it's still always life, I guess, no matter what.
Right.
But, you know, the fun part of life, the enjoyment part, then running around to the stores and trying to get everything in and then
Like literally adulting. Work, like you're just doing adult chores.
Correct.
In your time off instead of actually enjoying anything.
Right. Is there anything that you had, Janelle, this last year that you guys typically would do or that you would do like Kaylee's camping? Kaylee's camping. That sounds like,
didn't you say you had a couple trips that were canceled?
I did kind of, one was a work trip. I was supposed to go to the Texas Teaks training, which is at Texas A&M University.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was supposed to go there. It ended up getting canceled then postponed for an unknown time. We still haven't really heard, which is fine. Other than that, I had an April vacation, which was over my birthday, and I was going to plan something with friends, but never got to even the planning part by the time COVID hit. You always take a vacation in October usually, and that's usually an up north to see family trip, and we canceled that. I also had I believe it was a June vacation or a July vacation, one of the two, and we were going to go out to California to see one of my like families, one of our cousins, like she's actually like was my grandma's cousin, but she's in her 90s, and between, you know, obviously COVID this year, I mean, wildfires are always around her anyways, so it's kind of a toss-up in the summer, but we were gonna go see if we could visit her around that time, but of course we knew we couldn't. And people at my agency were actually canceling vacations around the time of my April one. They were starting to cancel some of their vacations. And then we had to stop doing that because otherwise there wouldn't have been enough time for people to use it by the end of the year. There just wouldn't have been the possibility to fit everybody in. So I kept all my vacations and I just either kind of stayed and relaxed at home or, you know, just kind of caught up on some stuff or just kind of took little road trips. My mom and I took a couple road trips around Wisconsin, just, you know, a couple hours away. I did do a camping trip in September, but it was just to just a property. We found it on a site that's almost like an Airbnb for campsites where people actually just, you know, rent out their farms and properties and stuff. So that was really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So other than that, and in a usual year, we take a couple trips and I've gone on cross-country train trips before on my vacation time. Just trying to think of like, and, you know, my boyfriend and I will take little trips here and there.
Sure.
Well, either on my off days or I'll take a couple extra days off. This year, funny enough, because I was worried about having vacations and then nothing to do with them, I actually only took one vacation pick out of our three that were usually allowed or at our vacation picking time. So I just kind of banked all my days, not only to make sure that I had enough in case something happened and I got sick, but also to allow myself the ability to just like extend weekends and take smaller trips and do things locally versus banking on the ability to travel further.
Sure. Very cool. So the, I aside from COVID challenges, right? Because we all know we've had those, but at some point in time, we're going to get back to normal. And I think what, and I've mentioned this before, I think it's important for people. There's absolutely nothing wrong with jumping in and dedicating yourself to your career. Right?
No, absolutely not.
There's nothing wrong with it. But I think what I've mentioned this, like I said a second ago, I've mentioned it before, where people get so caught up and that becomes everything to them.
Well, you end up burning yourself out.
Or that's just everything you know. And, right. You know, it, even if you don't burn yourself out and you're able to make it through to retirement, once you get to retirement, you don't know what to do with
you end
yourself.
Up going back and working for another agency in another capacity, right. Which is a lot of first responders do that.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, like public safety has been my entire adult life. Mm-hmm. Like I literally had two jobs before I was an EMT.
Okay.
So I don't know what to do outside
right.
of this.
Right.
Because I did that for 6 or 7 years, and now I've been doing this for seven or almost eight. I don't even know. I have no concept of time anymore.
Well, I'm a little bit, I'm older than both of you two. So I've got some other experience at a number of other things. You know, I worked for an IT company. I always laugh because my very first job out of high school, I was the milkman.
Oh my God.
But
why is that not surprising?
I was the milkman. You know, if we didn't deliver to houses though, for the record. I wasn't born in the 50s.
This,
I'm
was
not
gonna
that
say,
damn
this was in
old,
1947, right. Just after.
Howdy, ma'am. Full fat or skin today. I just picture that's how that actually goes.
Oh my God.
But I've done a number of other things, and I can honestly say that while I was there and even sometimes outside of there, I dedicated my time to learning and getting better at whatever it is I did.
Yeah.
I also left time for other stuff.
Right.
And not intentionally. You know, now I think about it because what we do, it's even more important to get your head out of the game.
It is. It's difficult to remove yourself from that. Because we're sort of always on call.
Yeah, really. I mean, some places, so like you guys do have an actual on-call.
Yeah, we have an actual on-call, but in the more in the sense that if there's a large incident.
Yeah.
Like when we get, we had that Duray show a couple months ago.
Yes.
It was like 15 tornadoes or something like that. We knew that we were going to have to go into work. Like
right.
There was no getting around that.
Yeah.
So, and same thing when you're, you know, at home on your off day and you see that something, you turn on the news and something huge is going on at your agency. Some people, I guess, would just sit at home and continue watching the news and like, oh, that sucks. Glad I'm not there today.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person that if it's big enough to be on the news, I'm just going to go in and see if someone needs something,
well,
you know?
Yeah. No, but you're usually working with less people in a
right.
In
we
a
are
center.
A smaller agency. So it's not like there's more people to pick up
right.
Slack.
And for us, if it's that big of a deal, we actually get, texts and it says, hey, if anybody's available, come on in and then you can go in. And usually
right.
Somebody's willing to do that and jump at it and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it depends on the scenario, how many people they wind up needing. You know, I live farther than probably most of my coworkers, so getting there quickly is a little bit more difficult than
yeah.
if somebody that lives close by that wants to do it. So
right.
They're probably going to get there faster and not need more people. I will say though that there's I don't feel like there's anything wrong with not wanting to go in to do the work. Now getting called in, it's a whole different story. You know that chance is there, but I feel like I understand and appreciate and respect anybody that wants to jump in and go in. But I also don't feel
you have to have boundaries
towards somebody. Right.
You do have to have boundaries,
right.
Which is that's something that I think I've only learned in the last couple of years is making sure that you are utilizing that like paid time off and stuff
yes.
and making sure that you are unavailable for work stuff. Now, again,
right.
if there was a huge incident, and I mean, I'm talking like on national news, something. Thousands of people are involved.
Right.
If I'm available, it's if different. I'm in the area, I'm probably going to end up going and asking if they need anything. But aside from that, you have to make yourself unavailable.
Because
you there are times that you cannot accept other people's baggage for just a couple of days, you know?
That's correct. Well, because then it becomes life. It's not work anymore. It is your life.
Yeah.
And again, you're going to find yourself at some point in time not knowing what to do with yourself. And with what we do as first responders, and I say that including all first responders because of the stress that you deal with, you got to take those breaks, man. You got to find something, even if it's you just want to sit down and binge watch Breaking Bad or something.
Right.
You know, go ahead. Don't sit down and watch 911 because you might as well be at work.
Don't sit down and watch like live PD because we joke about that. Like sometimes it'll be on TV at work.
Yeah.
And the officers will tease us like, why are you watching? Like you're literally watching a show of what you're doing. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to watch this at home.
Right.
It's like decent background noise. I don't have to pay attention to it. About it.
Only time I cared about it was when we were on it. And I was like, Norm's agency was on it. I even got to hear myself on the TV. It's kind
of funny. Yeah, we got to see some of our officers too, because we were close by. But I think as first responders, it's in our nature to want to be present when there is an emergency.
Hobbies, right?
Yeah.
Hobbies is another one. Do you have any hobbies, Janelle?
Lord, I do. Most of them are.
What was that?
Yeah, he
was
sounded like.
She's going to tell us some weird dominatrix story.
Well, I'm really into taxidermy. That's and
right. I like killing him first, though. So
no, I was going to say, most of them are just like super nerdy. That's the only thing. I'm like major nerd. I like video games, things like that. When I go and see my boyfriend, we usually end up playing games online with our friends, whether it's just like online party games or Magic the Gathering we play online, which is one of those trading card games, and sometimes Dungeons and Dragons. My boyfriend, he works for a library, so he has been running their teen Dungeons and Dragons events once a month for years.
That's kind of awesome, though. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I don't find it nerdy.
But it's coming back.
It's super cool.
Well, you know, we can credit Stranger Things for that. I mean, we really can, because the kids played it, and people are like, "What is this thing?" And they used to always think it was
like Pokemon. Like Pokemon cards are a big thing again.
You can go on YouTube right now and it'll show you certain celebrities that everybody thinks is cool, and this is what they're doing. They're playing it, and even people are playing it virtually now. They get on Zoom and they play it instead of getting together in a room and playing it. So
exactly. And even with Pokemon, like there are days when if I'm down there, you know, he's up here, and if it syncs up with like a Pokemon event in the Pokemon Go app, like we'll go to a park and we'll walk around. Sometimes we'll see people that he knows, again, like, you know, before COVID, and which kind of shut things down, but even Pokemon like opened stuff up and made arrangements for that, where you didn't have to be out like in a public space to do things in the game. And you know, so we'll even drive around or walk around and do those things, which
my husband plays Pokemon Go. I should have you guys add him on the app, because he's always looking for friends.
So there's like a Charizard somewhere in this house is what you're
probably and okay. I mean, just for reference, my husband's almost 40, so like there's no age limit here. And Janelle, I'm gonna out myself for a second here. So you think that's super nerdy, but one of my favorite things to tell people is that I used to have a level 85 paladin, and a lot of people don't know what that means. So I am the biggest fucking nerd. Like,
I love
the biggest.
It. Yeah. And I always preface that like it's some sort of big secret, but I mean, everybody knows that when I started my dispatch job, I was part-time. And at the same time, I ended up getting a part-time job at a board game store that sold like board games, all the Dungeons and Dragons stuff, the Magic the Gathering and the other card games. You know, and we'd go in once a week and play things like that. You know, I really enjoy that. It's social, but again, not social.
Right, but it's like social, and it's fun, and like there are I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. I would love to look into it because, weirdly enough, there's a bunch of people on TikTok that I follow that play Dungeons and Dragons. And I'm not kidding when I say they are hands down like the funniest people I've ever seen. Like the videos they make are hysterical. And I know nothing about Dungeons and Dragons, but they're so funny. So if like that's the type of people that play Dungeons and Dragons, I'm in. I want
to
do it. How did
you have a level 80? Was this in World of Warcraft?
World of Warcraft, okay. Yeah. So all I right. used to do You're big one of those raids, nerds. Oh, and I mean that was the only game that I really played. Yeah. Like my stepson tries to get me to play Fortnite all the time, and I am not a console gamer. I don't understand console games.
It's you know what, and not to get
the
too
controller.
Far
like the I controller, can't do the right. controller.
But
I can PC buy a, game.
But you can buy a keyboard and a mouse to hook into your Xbox. PlayStation.
I still have a lot of effort to troll 8-year-olds on the internet. Like
sometimes it's
my husband plays Fortnite too.
I used to play video games on. I played Counter-Strike a lot back in the day, and we actually had leagues where we would practice and we'd have matches and all that crap. So I haven't played it in a very long time, but it was almost an addiction for me.
Do you remember LAN parties? Did you ever have LAN
parties? Oh, God,
parties?
Yeah. Well, I worked for an IT company for like
you say that
years.
To people now, and they're like, what the hell is that? And I'm like, oh, my God, yeah.
One of my...
LAN parties are still a thing.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
LAN
there's
parties.
Still a term.
Okay, good,
There's still a thing, of course. There was a time where... I feel like I want to sing We Are the World now. When I started working for an IT company, the guys that started the company, they were 18 and 19 at the time. So these were my bosses. I'm almost 30. and they would shut down shop on Friday at like 2 o'clock, and we'd hook, you know, we would load up the games and we would sit in the office and play.
Hell
and
yeah.
Then other people would come in, and next thing you know, we're, you know, it's 3 a.m. It's like
when I worked on the ambulance, we had our station had a guild on World of Warcraft, and we would raid together. And I mean, we would raid together both at work and outside of work. So we were just constantly with each other. It was pretty hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
But actually, then World of Warcraft did like the panda thing, and I stopped playing after that because it was really weird. But
yeah, I don't know what that is. It must be some weird scandalous thing. But
anyway, this is turning into like nerd talk.
It is. Well, I mean, we're all kind of nerds, and I think everybody has something different. I think it, again, it's an activity though. It takes you out of, and I believe that's why most people like any kind of role-playing game,
right?
Because it takes you out of the real world and puts you into something different. Mm-hmm. And provided you're doing it in a healthy manner, that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Anything, yoga. I mean, obviously we promote yoga. We post for our yoga.
If you guys have
headset.
Not checked out our yoga, please do. We have a YouTube page set up. YouTube channel.
Yes.
And you can go on there and check out all of our yoga videos. And they're pretty short. Like you don't need like 2 hours to do
no,
it. It's
you
like
don't.
15 minutes.
You don't. And I agree. And it isn't long. It's the right amount, especially if you're tight on time. But at least it's doing something else. You know, you don't have to become a yoga person. Dare
yeah,
I say we're not gonna stereotype.
Yeah, you
but,
know, a granola person.
Yeah,
yeah
right,
like a weird.
Right. It doesn't have to become. You don't have to turn vegan because you started doing yoga or anything like that. It's not a requirement. But those types of activities, anything, and hiking. Some people take on hiking and. They go all out. They get the special boots because now they're going to hike here and there. And
right.
It doesn't matter what it is. I feel like a lot of people say they don't have the time. I think that's a big thing with this. I don't have time to do that. I bet you I could sit down with you and figure out how much time you actually have to do it. You're just not making the time to do it or taking the time to do it because the time is there, but you just spent 2 hours. You know, watching The Price is Right and let's
or,
make a deal.
Yeah, dicking around on your phone on Facebook, arguing with
there's
strangers.
There's nothing wrong
on
with
internet.
That. But yeah, exactly. That's a big one, right? So you deal with enough drama at work. Why would you bring more of it into your life?
Mm-hmm.
I catch myself all the time starting to type something on Facebook or whatever, and I go, nope.
Like this week alone, I've gotten into 3 arguments with people on Facebook, and I need to stop.
I think I've been on Facebook.
I've
this week
never been that person.
5 times.
I never used to be that person. And I think the current climate has just turned me into that person.
Oh, well, yeah, we
current climate has turned everyone into that person.
That just is Kaylee's hobby.
Yeah. Wow. That's, that's my hobby now, is arguing with strangers on the internet.
Right.
And I mean, not even, I'm sorry, not even strangers, like arguing with my friends.
I'm an internet debater.
If people are keeping it civil and like nice, I don't really have an issue with it. Yeah. But
I think we have to, my personal feeling is I want to see people, I love that they're dedicated in their job. And this is my own personal opinion. But I am a professional, so I don't know. That was supposed to be funny. Apparently it wasn't.
when Norm makes a joke and we just sit here silently.
that wasn't awkward at all.
Oh my God.
So I love that people are passionate about learning their job. You know, even you, Janelle, you know, you mm-hmm. seem to be doing so much when it comes to your work that mm-hmm. I worry that you just eventually work into that. I see so many people do that. It becomes everything because that's their focus. And they have the right idea in mind because they want to get better and they want to get educated and they want to keep their skills there.
You want to be dedicated and you want to be good at your job, but there has to be a balance.
But I'm going to say there does have to be a balance. I'm going to say, what is it giving back to you? You're putting all that effort in and sometimes it just doesn't come back to you. So, and that's not to say be bitter about it or whatever, but you have to put it into perspective and go, okay, listen, I'm going to give this much time to get better and work myself into this position or put myself in a position to be promoted potentially if you have room to do that.
Right.
But I feel like people don't look at it realistically or what they're missing out on because that's their only focus. And then it catches up to them and they go, shit, I could have been doing this whole time, or I always wanted to become this artist, or I wanted to learn how to do this. And because they took the time to do their work, that became their life. And I feel like your work, I'll just straight out say it, your work shouldn't be your life. And should is a terrible word to say to people. It really is. But it can't be your whole thing.
No, you need to take time out to do the things that you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, especially you start getting up there in age. Like, I'm feeling that right now. I'm going to be 30. I'm going to be 35 right this year. So I'm realizing now. Shut up. Don't even.
I'm going to be 49 this year. So you can just shut up.
But I mean, you start to realize like all of the stuff that I've been doing to work towards bettering myself in my career, I now have made zero time to do anything personally. I see videos of like, I always wanted to learn how to do that and I never did. And like, I still have the opportunity to now, but when I retire, I might not. So.
Right. I equate the thought process, and I will say this to plenty of married people, especially married people with kids. The kids become their entire life.
Yep.
And that's awesome that you love your kids that much. And there's nothing wrong with it. But when your kids turn and that becomes the empty nester thing,
mm-hmm.
you've dedicated yourself going to PTA meetings, volunteering at the school, doing all of this stuff for the sake of the children. And you wind up forgetting who the hell you are, because once they're grown up, you're no longer that parent anymore. You're still their parent, but you're not that parent anymore, and you don't know what to do. And it's important, I think, for people to take breaks from their kids, their family. And I'm not saying, you know, the every abandon Friday night them. Go get hammered at the bar or something. I'm just saying, make some time for you, make some time for you and your spouse. And I feel like it equates to the career thing as well.
Right.
Just because you don't spend all your time looking up information about what you do for a living, especially in this industry, doesn't mean you're not dedicated and doesn't mean you're treating it like a job versus a career. That's my opinion.
Well, and so like Janelle's significant other does not work in this industry.
Right.
Norm's significant other does not work in this industry. Mm-hmm. My husband kind of does. Like I said, he's a nurse.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing that a lot of us struggle with, is making friends outside of what we do, because we feel like we can't relate to people outside of public safety.
Or do we feel like we think they can't relate to us?
I mean, yeah, both.
Which is ridiculous.
It is, but at the same time, like, when you have a rough day at work or you mm-hmm. have something happen and you want to come home and talk about it, like other people might misunderstand our horrible sense of humor where we're like yes,
right.
making fun of dead people.
And... Well, then in not to get into, yes. And we're not, for the record, we're not really making fun of them. It's cathartic is what it is. It's a release to be able to laugh about it rather than sit around and brood.
Yeah, because and people say it all the time, if you don't laugh about it, you'll cry. Because
yeah, for sure.
We come across these terrible situations and you're like, you find something, I don't know, like my humor is so fucked. I think the dumbest shit is funny. And I think the most horrible stuff is funny.
Yes. And that comes with the territory, unfortunately. But if you have friends that are judging you because you might find that funny, then they're not your people.
Right.
I mean, that's just the case. And you can't let that hold you back from finding the people that mix with it. But I've heard people tell me at work, I'm not going to date anybody outside. You know, they might be single and they're not comfortable with dating somebody outside our industry because they don't understand our schedule, blah, blah, blah. Well, you're not giving the right person the opportunity. You're just automatically discounting somebody that way. And I think I understand the thought process, but I also think you're missing out on so much by having that mentality.
Right.
You know, and I can be very closed-minded about a lot of different things, or maybe more, maybe stronger in some of my convictions, maybe I should say, because I'm not really closed-minded. But that's truly being closed-minded and cutting yourself off from possibilities, you know?
Well, and Janelle, so your boyfriend is not in this industry, but he's trying to break into this industry, correct?
He is, yes.
How do you feel about that?
I personally am all for it. Our personalities are very, at least in my opinion, we have very similar personalities, you know. When I started the job and everything, like he looked up resources, you know, and he found books to read about it, and he found, you know, things that he could, you know, find to learn more about so that he could better relate to, like, what I was telling him or things that I might experience. And he, you know, has always kind of been there with that experience. And he had, you know, EMT training background, certification background. So he had, you know, some intention to do something like that anyways. You know, the humor is definitely there with him. He, you know, things like that.
That's good.
Yeah. And so he has a big understanding. That's why I feel like he's kind of a unique person that I have and I'm fortunate to have, because he,
it's so cute. Uh-huh. Aren't you a man that does research so that he can relate to you? That's, oh my right. gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, and it is, I was very fortunate enough that he did all that. And he was, you know, very in tune with, you know, what I needed, or if I have a bad day, or, you know, if I have, you know, a bad call that I need to talk about, you know, he's, you know, willing to listen or, willing to hear what's going on. And, and willing to, you know, understand or hear me explain things too, if, you know, he doesn't quite understand. And it's very nice. And even back to the whole, you know, the work-life balance and trying to, find that, it's funny that you mentioned that with me, Norm, is that I actually have been finding it, like, kind of this year, like transitioning into January has kind of been my, okay, like I'm kind of done with certain things. At my agency currently, I'm kind of at, like, where I can go outside of becoming a supervisor, and becoming a supervisor is not really something that I am interested in. I like the aspect of leadership, but I don't like the supervisory duties and roles that necessarily come with it. So with that, like, I'm already a training officer. I'm already a validator for, you know, NCIC type things. I already do a bunch of extra things that we do at our agency that already kind of puts me kind of towards the top as far as experience. There's a couple more specialty units that I could get experience in, but beyond doing that, there's not a whole lot more that I can do. So I've done so much training over my, I'm going on into 6 years there, that, you know, I'm kind of leveling out with that too. So this has kind of been my year to kind of take a step back and kind of evaluate things a little bit and kind of see where I want to take things next and see what avenues I might want to explore and kind of look towards the future a little bit, and kind of get back in tune with myself personally. I have I got this really cool journal for Christmas. I mean, I sent my mom the link and she ordered it for Christmas and was like, you know, hey, what do you want for Christmas type thing? But it's, you know, got all this space in it. And I've been trying to dedicate time to like doing a mindfulness exercise every day to kind of check in with myself. I've kind of dedicated once a week. I've been doing like some sort of drawing or some sort of like small art piece in this like blank space that it gives you for the week to do what with whatever you want to. And I've been successful most weeks in being able to kind of like, again, get more in touch with myself and kind of check in with my emotions and my mind and where it's at and just kind of let myself be, which is something that I haven't done, I think, for the past like 5.5 years since I've got this job and probably even years before that. And it's all just part of the process that I'm trying to form for myself in order to get back to me.
Right, like learn who you are outside of your agency.
Exactly. And I'm still keeping things in mind. Like I see all these cool things on like our social media and different things that I see other dispatchers doing, like, oh, that you can dispatch in Antarctica. And somebody posted the other day about transfers to Scotland. And like, I would love to travel with this career. I would love to go and, you know, experience different things in different countries and different continents. And that, I think that would just be so cool to do. But it's just getting there. And it's not really a hobby of mine, but one of my fascinations is what, you know, my favorite animal are owls. So I recently learned some stuff about wildlife rehabilitation and that you don't need to necessarily have a huge college degree for it. It in most states, it's just a certification program that costs, you know, less than $100. So I've been looking into, you know, kind of getting my foot in the door with that, maybe with my local wildlife rescue.
We need more of those too. We often don't have enough.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just certain things like that. And there's, you know, we watch one of the, I can't remember if it's Northwoods Law, one of them, it's still a law enforcement show, but they do a lot of the conservation.
Yeah.
Watching some of that too with my family.
I love that.
It's kind of cool, right? Because it's work related, but it's also like, oh, look at the bear. You know, it's not right. Stuff that we see around here necessarily. And I love to see that stuff. I don't know, like maybe I can do something like that one day and still have that connection, but still be on my own and doing, you know, that on the other side of helping, you know, something else in a different way.
Right. So. No, that's awesome. Yeah. Northwoods Law. So I have family on the East Coast, up in New England, and it's interesting to watch that show because I know some of the areas that they're talking about.
Yeah.
Those conservation guys, they're hardcore.
Oh, they are.
Oh my God.
If you ever spend time listening to, you know, not to plug other podcasts, but let's face it, we listen to them and zillions of people listen to like Rogan's podcast. But a year and a half or so ago, he had this guy, John Norris, I think is how he says his name. He was in California,
mm-hmm.
and he was part of their conservation officers, the DNR, whatever it is that they do. But those guys get crazy because it's not only wildlife conservation, but they're also busting people growing drugs, you know, like how the cartels have come over and set up shop out in the wood, middle of the woods somewhere, and they're catching these huge, whether they were marijuana grows or whatever it was.
Right.
It's pretty interesting stuff. It's a whole different take that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, there was a show on a while ago. I think I found it on Hulu. And I can't remember what it was called. I'll have to try to find it. But it was about the Coast Guard in Alaska. And oh my God, those, if I could go back and be 19 and re-decide my career,
yeah,
I would absolutely do that. Those guys rappel out of helicopters onto large fishing ships to like rescue people who are having medical emergencies in the middle of the ocean.
Only to be eaten by a kraken.
Talk about badass. Like those guys are so, those guys are so freaking cool.
They are. It's not, people don't, so people don't realize what the Coast Guard does. They think that,
you know, I know everyone teases the Coast Guard. Yeah.
No, those guys go through some major
training. Insane. But yeah. it was a really cool show. If you are able to find it based on the weird description I just gave, I cannot think of the name. It may have just been called like Coast Guard Alaska or something like that. But it's really cool. It was a really cool show. But going back to what Janelle was talking about, Humanize the Headset, especially being able to be a part of this organization, has kind of opened my eyes to the fact that our industry is so much more than just like sitting down on a console and dispatching.
For sure.
Because we have so many other projects that we're working on and thinking about that aren't really necessarily related to what we do every day.
Well, it also depends, though. Again, this also is agency specific.
Right.
So, you know, some agencies, you know, like Janelle just said, I'm at where I can go without becoming a supervisor.
Right, she's topped off.
And unfortunately, that's the reality in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to seek out something else, whether it's being a training officer within your agency and learning about new stuff when it comes to that. There's plenty of avenues to go. It's not necessarily going to bring you a whole lot more pay, but it might be more rewarding for you. Even our fearless leader, Brendan, like he just posted, I think the other day, well, it's probably a couple weeks ago now. I still lose so much track of time.
I know, I have no concept of time.
How he's found a renewed sense because he's been doing training and he hadn't done it for so long.
Right.
And he has a knack for it. You know, he really does. And it's important to seek those types of things out just because sometimes I think people shy away from it because of the responsibility. Sometimes they shy away from it because of, you know, they think it's mundane or they don't want to be the person, you know. Actually, let's ask, why don't you want to be a supervisor, Janelle?
Like I said, I don't necessarily mind the whole leadership aspect, but I just don't like the whole, I guess, being in charge aspect. I don't like the whole, again, the whole having to issue discipline, having to tell people. Yeah, discipline is a big thing. Having to tell people, yes, no, you know, things like that. You know, even just having to, again, like having to tell people like we can't do this because of this and it's out of my hands, stuff like that. You know, there's so much above you in this job, whether it's, you know, the city, the county, the, you know, everything above you. That is, you know, that everything kind of trickles down towards the bottom. And I just don't want to be that kind of middle person that is stuck in the middle. And I guess I've always kind of looked at it that way. You know, I don't mind and there's different ways that you can be a leader for sure without, you know, being a supervisor necessarily. And I,
absolutely.
Again, like, well, all the duties and.
You kind of already are though.
Yeah.
Okay. So in any time, so there's always people in a room. Okay. So how many people do you have working at a given time?
We have three at minimum.
Okay. So you have three. And there's a supervisor, a working supervisor, or are they more like a manager that sits in another room?
We have a manager on first shift, and then second and third each have a working supervisor.
Okay.
But they're on their own, or they're on a rotation. So I only work with third shift's working supervisor anywhere from 2 to 3 days a week, depending on, you know, if we're on the 4-day week or the 5-day week. So,
sure.
And of course, it depends on if they're people off, shift adjust, different things. So
of course you have basically a manager and two supervisors that are rotating through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you don't have a large agency, so you're already kind of in that role, I'm gonna guess, based on, you know, what we know of you and what we've talked about, and there's always somebody that's just gonna do their job. Okay. Right. And those are usually the people that don't become trainers or anything else. So the reality is by becoming a trainer, and what I've learned in training classes, or train the trainer classes, is that you're in a supervisory role anyway.
Well, you're taking on a huge responsibility. Role. Yeah, for sure.
You're taking on a huge responsibility for a person to make sure they're learning what they need to learn, and you're reporting what they've fucked up. And that's mm-hmm. just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
you're kind of already in that, other than you're just not at a higher level.
Well, so, I'm the same way. Like, I'll take all of it except the discipline. I don't want to discipline people. But everything else I'm cool with.
I also feel like I understand, because that's an ultimate thing, right? If we're sitting in a room and you screw something up, I'm going to go, dude, you screwed this up. But I'm just not doling out this. I'm bitching at you.
Right. Like, I'm not going to decide. Yeah. Right. And we do that. Like, we'll correct our partners or say something like, hey, this is a mistake, but I don't want to be the one that decides like you get a 2-day suspension because of it or something stupid like that.
Do your supervisors do that?
So we don't have supervisors. We have one manager.
Yeah.
She's doing everything.
Okay.
So
what about you, Janelle? Do your supervisors actually decide your fate,
or is it your
do
manager? They recommend it?
I think that it really kind of depends on the situation. The severity of it, and you know how it happened too, because I think that depending on what happened, what it would be, I believe that who all was involved would also have some input, like including patrol supervisors, like sergeants, lieutenants, things like that. Again, this is just my speculation, but I think that they also have, because they have input, like our yearly reviews that we get, they also have input that they give mm-hmm. feedback on us. So I believe that they would also have input, especially if they're, you know, heavily involved, or if it involves, you know, of course, patrol, or even the fire department, if it involves, you know, their sure. people,
of course,
some sort of situation like that,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, with the other staff.
So in all reality, as a supervisor at your agency,
mm-hmm.
the odds of you doling out specific discipline or punishment, you know, mm-hmm. because that's what it is probably pretty slim. Yeah
I mean, I think at our agency people pretty much, you know, are really good at their jobs, obviously, and you know,
I just mean as a direct line supervisor, that your supervisors, yeah. not your manager, your supervisors mm-hmm. probably don't discipline really at all.
Yeah,
I mean they do, like they're the ones that would be like calling you into their office and, you know, like issuing the, like, this is what's going on and this is what's happening,
the actual write-ups.
They're not necessarily the ones that are, you know, making the only ones making the decision, you know.
Right.
There's input and everything, but they're usually the ones that are, you yeah, know, either present. You know, calling into the office or having, you know, oh. calling the meeting or saying, you know. So
okay, so there, you have to present it, you have to be the one to break it to them.
Yeah, basically. Break it, okay. Break the situation right. down.
I understand. It's awkward. I get it. Yeah. By us, I mean, I guess it's kind of the same for us. We can only recommend if there's some discipline, and for the most part, we don't recommend it. We put together information and we present it to the appropriate people, and they say, well, this is,
right. yes,
we agree we probably should do this based on what we've found. You know, right. and it has mm-hmm. to be factual information, and it can't be, you know, I'm just making this up or whatever. So because somebody else is reviewing it and you have data to back it up typically. While I get that, we also, and I don't disagree with it. I think it's what you want to do. So I think though, it's important to have the right people
mm-hmm.
because if you're a good leader, you'll probably make a good supervisor, because you're going to, if you have to pull somebody in because they screwed up and you give a shit about them, you're probably going to do it in a way that they know you actually are wanting them to do better, or they're a complete fuck up and you already don't want them to be around anyway. So whether you're a supervisor or their coworker, you just don't want them to be around.
Well, I think a lot of agencies too get stuck on the seniority thing. A lot of things go to the most senior people.
Sure.
And the most senior people are not necessarily the people that are best True. For the supervisory True. Roles.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a side thing. I wanted to dissect.
Like a random tangent, yeah.
It is, but it isn't, because it goes back to the training. So using Janelle as, because she's a great example, because she does a lot of training. I can.
She does a lot of training. She definitely goes above and beyond. And correct. She also has a lot of shit going on in her personal
That's
life.
Correct, right. So she's, you know, doing those things, and I was kind of trying to figure out, well, why? Right. Why are you spending that time? Is it just a drive to just be better at what you do? And she straight up said, hey, listen, I've reached where I could possibly go with what I've done, and I've backed off on it.
But now she's opened herself up for so many other things.
Right.
Correct. And I know that that's like a weird aspect that a lot of, like, you've made yourself so desirable for a million other things, and not even necessarily another dispatch job, but like probably another career in somehow related to this industry, right, if you ever wanted to pursue that.
And that's how we got onto this. Right. There's so many other things out there. There's, you know, when we talked to Adam.
Who did we talk to?
When we talked to Adam Tim a few weeks back or a couple podcasts back, he turned his career into something completely different.
And that's what I mean.
I think that's awesome. And it becomes, I don't want to say more rewarding, because let's face it, you help somebody in saving their life or getting them help, that's pretty damned rewarding. But it doesn't have the same level of stress or whatever that comes with it. It's different stress, but not quite the PTSD inducing kind of stress. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That takes people out of this job sometimes. So I really think it's finding your niche in what you really like to do. And you're right, this job affords you that ability. You may not be able to go up where you're at, but you can create something that doesn't exist out there. Like we did with the HTH, you know, with humanizing the headset, right, this podcast.
This was an idea that Brendan had a few years ago that came to fruition. And now how many people are on the team? What are we doing? Like, we've got the podcast, we've got blogs, we've got yoga, we've got merch, we've got, and I mean, we're working on a ton of fun stuff coming up this year.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really cool. And that's, again, like, we're still, you know, working within this industry, but not necessarily we're not dispatching.
In the heart
like
of
we're
it.
We're
right.
doing something else right. that's just sort of related to
related
it.
Related to it. Exactly. That's what I was gonna say. It's related.
Which is cool. Cause there's not a lot to build on as far as dispatching. Like,
no, once you know it, you kind of know it.
And, right. Yeah.
Except for technology, you know,
right. Yeah. Like tech is always changing, but there, as far as like, you know,
you have to train on that stuff and learn it and and sometimes it's just forced upon you, so you don't really have much of a choice.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do. You can just say, screw this, I'm out of here, and flip your console over and go flip everybody off and just pee on somebody when you walk out.
Well, that's really, like, aggressive.
It's very specific.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about this.
Everyone that works with Norm, watch out. I think on his last day, he's going to pee on everyone when he leaves. Like a weirdo.
Okay, marking my territory. You bitches are mine.
So, yeah, I mean, the work-life balance is important.
Yes, definitely. For sure. So he finds other stuff to do.
That's completely removed from our industry. Yes,
right. And stop making excuses as to why you can't do it. Because if you really sit down and look at your given day, you go, okay, I did this, 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 and this. Okay, what'd you do in between that?
You have 10 minutes or 15 minutes to dedicate to something. And I mean, even if it's just like, listen to a podcast, and not this podcast, like listen to something else that's not related to what you do.
But still listen to this
podcast. You should listen to this podcast for sure. Right. But if you're trying to take a break from work, don't listen to this podcast.
Right.
I
would agree with that.
And there's so much available on the internet right now. Like, you can go on YouTube and learn how to make resin tables. So you can find out things that you might be interested in. You can try to figure out like a new hobby for yourself that you might want to look into.
Maybe your hobby is just watching YouTube videos of how to make a resin table. Right. You may never want to do it, but at least it's taking you away from something else. But activity is a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think being active and you do need your downtime. So I'm not saying, hey, get off the couch, because sometimes you just need to sit on the couch and be.
Yes, I am the queen of taking time to do nothing.
Yes.
I'm very good at doing nothing.
I absolutely love doing nothing. There's lots of times that I, you know, I get up off the couch and I'm sore because I've been there for too many hours. And it's like,
my husband injured his hip from being on the couch.
That's right. Well,
yeah. But yeah, like find find, and again, like Janelle was saying, you know, she has nerdy hobbies. I have nerdy hobbies. I quilt and
it doesn't matter what it is. Quilting is a skill, I will tell you. So Dungeons and Dragons is not a skill while it's still fun. Quilting,
it will be a skill when shit hits the fan. Okay, Norm, when there are actual dragons.
So the dungeon master is training to be the actual master.
Yep. That's how we're going to see it.
Okay.
It takes mad skill to roll a natural 20, just saying.
It takes a lot of critical thinking too. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying it doesn't take critical thinking. I'm just saying that, and it does take imagination, and that's why it's fun to play, because it takes you out of everything else.
Absolutely.
But you know, quilting is one of those, quilting, crocheting, knitting, sewing, any of those actual skills, they're handy to have, because like you said, when the dragons come, you may need a blanket and you're going to have to sew some, after you've slayed the dragon, you're going to have to quilt a dragon skin quilt. And then it's like having dragon armor.
I will be able to make dragon armor.
I know some stuff about this stuff.
No. So yeah, like I have nerdy hobbies. We do all that stuff. My husband chops wood.
Yeah, for you fun. Gotta be.
I don't ask me why. Here's the funny thing.
He probably has
guys.
A wood chopping song that he sings too.
We don't have a fireplace in this house.
Right.
Who are we chopping all this wood for? I have no idea. But he likes doing it. It's not hurting anything. So, you know,
chop away.
Go for it, Paul Bunyan. I love it. His arms are enormous
now that I've met him. I got to meet him for the first time today. I may get him a blue ox for Christmas.
What the hell is a blue ox?
Really?
Like an actual blue ox?
And those, what, you had a blue ox?
Babe the blue ox.
I don't know. I wasn't born in 1942, nor am I.
Neither was I, so go screw yourself. To wrap up with this, you know, because I know we go off on tangents, but it's fun for us.
Get yourself a blue ox. Make yourself some dragon scale armor. Right.
Chop you some wood, baby.
Yeah.
No, find something other than this to do, because that is going to help you have some balance. I don't care what it is, and make the time to happen, to do it. Make time to make it happen.
Right.
And it's not even, again, the time is there. I'll guarantee you the time is there. You just can't see it because you're caught up in the cyclone of your life and you don't think you have the time. It's there.
Yeah.
You just have to take it. You might have to sacrifice something. Ultimately, when you look at it realistically, it becomes a trivial thing that you're worried about sacrificing. And I'm not demeaning anybody's stuff in their life, but you have to look at everything you're doing on a regular basis and go, you know what? On Thursdays, I have 2 hours that I really don't do anything, not even just veg out. I find myself with this extra time, but I'm not doing anything with it. So I putz around.
This is hard right now because of COVID, but if you have like a bookstore, go walk around a bookstore. That's one of my favorite things to do. Find so many things that I'm interested in just from doing that.
Yeah.
Or go walk around a hobby store.
Yeah.
Or just go walk outside. I don't care, but I'm thinking about it now and like,
and see people and stuff.
Not if you want to go for a walk in the woods, you don't have to talk to people. Go walk in the woods, listen to music on your way. Don't get murdered.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But yeah, like I'm thinking about it now, and a lot of my coworkers have hobbies outside of work. It's so funny. I'm realizing that they were such dedicated people in general.
Yeah.
That when we do pick up a hobby, we end up being incredibly dedicated to that as well.
Yes. Right.
So like Corey makes incredible cookies.
Yes,
like,
for sure.
She's an amazing artist.
Yep.
My coworker Kate, same thing. She's also big into cookie making and baking and decorating. Mm-hmm. Incredible. I sew things, make quilts, whatever.
As long as your hobby is not eating all of those cookies, because that's probably not a
healthy
hobby.
That is definitely one of my hobbies, but it's cool. But yeah, like we find these like weird hobbies outside of work, and then we end up being really good at them because we take the time to learn about them.
For sure. Yeah. It's funny, you know, not to drag this out longer, but a few years ago, I've taken several cooking classes, like through Sur La Table.
Mm-hmm.
So one was gifted to me by my wife. Then we went together and we've taken other classes, and then we did them with a couple, you know, and it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, a few hours.
Yeah.
And even if I never make that stuff again, it's just there. So my whole point is we ran into some lady there who was, she was kind of a sad sack, to tell you the truth. She's like, wah, wah. But in talking to her, because we talked to her, we found out that she and her sister would take these classes mm-hmm. just because they're not doing anything with it at home. They're just taking it because it's fun to do.
Right.
That's amazing.
Right.
You're venturing out and you find, you might find that you like to make homemade gnocchi all the time, you know?
Great. Or you might find that you absolutely hate cooking, and that's great true. Too. That's try right. something else.
That's right. But it's just fun.
You yeah. know,
doing something different. We use this term all the time, my wife and I, get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So go do something that you wouldn't probably normally do. That's maybe not risky or whatever, but if that's what you want to do, that's
like,
fine.
But join a Facebook different. Group. Like if there's something that you're interested in, go find a Facebook group right, for it or Reddit.
Look it up and see what the deal is.
Yeah, yeah. And join it and talk to some of those people.
Agreed.
Something agreed. Like that, because
do something other than work.
Yes, and take yeah. time a few times a year to remove yourself completely from public safety for a day or two.
Yeah, at use your vacation
time. Use your vacation time and don't make yourself available for stuff I know, regarding work.
I know people that like to brag mm-hmm. about how much vacation time they have banked. And it's like, well, when are you going to take it?
Right, because when you retire, that's going to be sitting there still. That's and correct. What good did that do you? It
did you absolutely no good. Take that damn time.
I take a week off every other month. And I mean, I'm lucky because I have nice. That. I'm afforded that because of how much vacation time I have. But nice. Yeah, I take a week off every other month. Not to do anything specific, right. just to have time off.
Yeah. So. Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, what do you have to say, Janelle? You wanted to say something there.
Oh, I was going to say, like, an example of, I guess, like joining the Facebook groups and kind of, or any groups out there, local groups, whatever. Last summer I started joining kayaking groups because I would really like to get into kayaking. It's not a hobby that I can sustain right now. I don't have the storage for a kayak. I don't really have a car that can travel with a kayak. They're expensive. And it's something that I've never done before, outside of like, you know, camp when I was 11 to 14 or whatever. But it's something that I, for some reason, have this desire to do. So I joined groups and I've been reading and looking at pictures and kind of that's just been my research. And it's been something that I've just been kind of looking at. And it's something that I'm going to work on in the future, but it's something that at least I can, you know, kind of have a inside look at now. So even if there's something bigger in the back yeah. of your mind that you know that you can't do right now because of logistics or COVID or childcare, something like that, you know, still go out there, reach out, talk to people. Another one of my possible hobbies that I want to do is learning to play the bagpipes. And
okay, you are like the coolest person, I swear.
Real quick, if you yeah. don't know what a Wisconsin accent sounds like, you will hear it when you listen to Janelle saying bagpipes.
I love it.
Bagpipes. Yeah. I want to learn how to play the bagpipes.
Okay. The bagpipes.
All right.
Definitely. I love it.
That desire kind of came up because I have like Scots Irish history in my family, and a work email, funny enough, as we talk about separating from work, but that a local pipe and drum group that plays for parades and things was looking to add more members. So I kind of communicated with them and found out the basics of what the requirements were, and then got too busy to do it. But it's still something in the back of my mind as a desire that I research and I've watched videos and kind of just done some research, because it's something that between expenses and storage and learning, it's something that I would need to do on a longer thing. Yeah. And also some of the local, you know, if you have a local, like whether it's a smaller town or larger city, like look at Facebook pages or even online websites right now for, you know, some restaurants, or maybe, you know, your Chamber of Commerce or your local event pages, because there's a lot of places that are doing free virtual or even lower cost virtual classes right now. Yes. Where you could be at home and do mm-hmm. it. Yeah. Or maybe they have you go out, and I know they've been doing cooking classes locally. Maybe they have you go out and get the ingredients, and you can do a virtual cooking class right from your, you know, kitchen with your whole family.
Right.
Something that you can spend time with your family, but still learn something new and build a new hobby.
I've seen that as well. I've also seen virtual drinking classes, but that's, I guess, a sadder term.
I don't know if I talked about this before, but we did virtual Christmas with my husband's family. And we ended up doing like a Zoom phone call so that everyone could open gifts and see everyone.
Yeah.
And people were at work were like, well, that sounds awful. And I'm like, I'm not kidding. We were on that Zoom call for like 8 hours or 10 hours. We had a blast.
Hey,
we played a trivia game. We played bingo. Yeah. Like, right. So, I mean, even though it's social stuff is a little bit limited right now, but like
you got to make
FaceTime your friends and family, call people. Email them, I don't care, but the Zoom stuff, it's a little awkward at first, but once you get used to it, it's actually, you can have a lot of fun with it.
You can. I hated it. I still kind of hate it a little bit, but I'm glad to see that people are making the most of it. I think the biggest key is to not allow the current state of stuff to deter you or become an excuse for not doing it because you have to do it virtually or whatever. Hey, so what?
I would prefer to do that stuff. I would prefer to do a lot of
it. I'm an in-person kind of person, but you know, you still can learn and have fun. And right. I have done that over Zoom calls with people. I can remember just talking with my wife's family. We jumped on because they were having a get together between some of their siblings. So her mom and her uncles and stuff. And we got on there. And next thing I know, I was six shots of Crown Peach in
deep,
and I was like, okay, this got out of control really quickly. But it was still fun, you know, and it wasn't anything specific. So if you have a specific goal, whether it be a scavenger hunt, you know, I know somebody that hosted a scavenger hunt.
It was
household items.
Play charades or like play a trivia game or.
The whole goal is fun. Just take yourself out of being a 911
telecommunicator. Clear your mind for a few minutes. Yeah. Yep.
A few hours. Right.
All right.
Healthy.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us, Janelle. We're hopefully going to have the rest of the team on at some point. It's difficult with everyone's schedule.
You bet.
But yeah, we're excited.
We appreciate you coming in. It's awesome.
One of our
even if it was over Zoom, the dreaded Zoom, it was still good.
Yeah, no problem. It was a lot of fun, and I am glad to be here with you guys. You guys are fantastic people.
Aww.
You're so full of baloney.
All right, well, awesome. We are going to sign off, and we will see you guys next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.